Hi, I'm Dagi Dawit, and this is my podcast. In this special episode of the Talent Listing with Dagi podcast, I break away from my typical format to chat with Jeffrey Wu, entrepreneur, serial investor in fast-growing startups, venture capitalist and partner in San Francisco, United States, experienced founder with consumer service industry, and my friend. As only we can, we discuss how to set up entrepreneurial career and build career capital. He has crafted great career for himself. So without further ado, please enjoy The Few Questions with Jeffrey Wu. Hello everyone, Dagi Dawit here from the Talent Listing with Dagi podcast. Yay!
Yay!
A beautiful Sunday morning here in Addis Ababa. I'm hanging out with a good friend of mine, Jeffrey.
How are you doing? How are you guys doing?
Yeah, great. It's a beautiful morning. Yeah. Absolutely fantastic. Jeff is an entrepreneur and a serial investor and venture capitalist. Without further ado, please, Jeffrey, introduce yourself.
Hi, how you guys doing? My name is Jeff. I'm a Chinese. I spent my last 7 years in United States, Michigan, to be exact, studying my bachelor degrees, majoring in marketing. Although I think this major is totally useless. Mm-hmm. And I started a business when I was a college kid, junior. And then things always are really like studying and then working on your own business at the same time. Mm-hmm. But I was blessed. I was so lucky. 6 months after I started my business, I got my first angel series investment. Mm-hmm. So things going really good, but not so good in 2 years. Mm-hmm. Because I have a trouble like running into my Series A investment. Mm-hmm. Series A round. So I keep working. And then I eventually got acquired by another company. Mm-hmm. I think 1 year, 2 years after. Then I went to San Francisco, San Jose, the Bay Area.
I mean, that is Silicon Valley.
Yes. Yeah. And then I started venture capital with my friend.
Venture capital, okay.
Yeah, the guy who used to partner with me for my first company. Mm-hmm. And then I've been working there for like a year. Mm-hmm. Less than a year. My role on there is like a consultant, like a GP, general partner. Mm-hmm. To have like an active business meeting. Mm-hmm. With all the potential company. Mm-hmm. Who want to have investment. Mm-hmm. So I'll do the analysis on them, the diligence, mostly talk to the owners, the founders. Mm-hmm. And trying to understand the basic, what's going on, the business, you know. Mm-hmm. All those business plan. Mm-hmm. Then I got bored a little bit because, you know, do the same thing, everything for like continuously for 12 months. You just feel like I want to make something new. Mm. Thing inside of me again.
Okay.
Same as my college.
So how do you set up your own venture?
How do I set up my own venture?
Yeah.
Set up own venture is the most important thing is ask people to invest money on you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's different to ask people to invest money on your company. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when it's on your company, you have all these numbers. Mm-hmm. Like what's your revenue, what's your profit. Mm-hmm. You can actually show them the books that this business is promising, you know. Mm-hmm. They invest in the business. But running a venture, the most difficult thing is to have people invest on you. You is the person they invest.
As a person, yeah.
Yeah, because during the time we were new, we were new VC, there's no like a really good portfolio thing. Mm-hmm. When you have like a good portfolio like DNG, Angel Fund, like a really like a famous
Angel
VC.
Investors.
Yeah, Angel Investor VCs, then people will invest you. Mm-hmm. No problem, because the based on the portfolio, you have invested on so much unicorn. Because unicorn means the 10 times more for the next round, so 100 times probably. They have the portfolio thing going on, so we weren't having any good portfolio company at that time, so it's hard to get people invest on them. So we would like use all the connection we have, talk to our friends, parents, you know, we have like a really strong LP group right now. We have more than 50 LPs around Chinese and United States. Those people are working legit, like a big shot company, high management people, or somebody's legit, like a really good IT business owners. Those people, they invest not, the strategy is we are not asking people to invest so much for one person. We ask have like, okay, we can have 50 LP, no problem. And each one of them, they invest like $1 million. That's it, nothing big, maybe $500,000.
So just to clarify more, what's LP?
LP is limited partner. Limited partner. Okay. The role of LP is to invest the money, but they do not interference the decision making process, like whether this VC should, whether we should invest on this company or not, this big type of thing, LP will not interference. They just put the money, and if we, okay, what VC does mostly is not just the money. You know, there's so many like big, like a hedge fund, there's always big investment, investment company, like at the bank, JP Morgan has like a huge investment portfolio. We cannot compete with them. But what we cannot compete with them, like money wise, of course. But thing is, we can actually help the entrepreneur by not just giving them the money, but the connection. We have whole manufacturer, IT, those industry connection in China. So let's say I used to invest sous vide machine, the best sous vide machine on earth right now. If we invest it, we tell them they won't allow me to invest because they're so hot right now. Everybody trying to get the money. They're on the position that deciding whose money I should take on that process. But why they should take our money? Because we can tell them we have a whole network of manufacturer. We can help them to manufacture the company at the very lowest cost. We have those type of connections. So they eventually accept us for a really low price to get in. We invest for like a 1%, 2%. And then right now we already in like a 5x like a ROI. Yeah, wow. Like 5x return.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
So, do you think focusing on small thing is good as an entrepreneur? So you can
absolutely
grow.
Absolutely. As an entrepreneur, don't chase the big cat. You know, this is what I always tell myself. You know. You focus on the little things. You don't set a big goal. You set up a relatively small goal. Something you can reach. And then you just finish it one by one by one, and when time comes, you know, you will feel like you're able to like hit on something big after, but not before, you know, because the resources is limited. You know, there's no way you can like you can dream on it, but trying to focus on the small thing first.
So what kind of risks should anyone take to become an entrepreneur?
What kind of risk?
Risk, I'm pretty sure you've taken those
absolutely.
Risks. Yeah.
The first risk is prepare the failure at the day one.
Prepare to be
lose everything.
To lose everything.
Prepare to lose everything on day one because the percentage of success as an entrepreneur, especially when you got no connections, no big funding behind you, no people support you. I mean people that is actually in the same business but it's like a really good doing really good business, those kind of people. You got no backups. So this the successful rate for entrepreneur, I would say before 30, is less than 5%. Let's be true. It is.
Okay, what do you think of the youngest billionaire, which is Mark Zuckerberg, is like 27.
How
maybe exceptional, yeah.
Yeah, think about how many people actually start something doing the same thing.
Yeah.
But how many people actually you see?
Yeah.
They make it. Mm-hmm. One or two.
Well, yeah.
Less than five.
Yeah.
For the whole world. Yeah. It's very, very few. But the people who are willing to try is so big. It's way too many than you can ever think of.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to understand the fact before you actually start doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the guy who telling you, okay, you should go for it. You should chase your dreams, do this, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. No. The world is crucial. I have seen this.
Mm-hmm.
I have been to the hell, man. Literally. I've been to the hell. I see this crucial. Nobody will care about you.
Not there's because, no one to help you there.
Yeah. If there's no business for them, there's no profitable interest for them, they won't help you. They won't lend a helping hand. Not like a friend. You know, everything in business crucial. It's numbers.
Okay.
So I want you to know, if somebody who interests start business, you should know the risk. It's tremendous high upfront, day one. And you are not preparing for this, don't do it. Otherwise, you will break down.
When the
bad thing come in, you don't have things prepared for it. So, this is what
how often should you take risks?
Every day. Every time it's gambling.
Yeah.
Because being an entrepreneur, you do things before everybody done it. That's you send a chance to get it done. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's the big people, big company doing the thing you're doing.
Yeah.
You don't stand a chance five of them. Think about this. Let's say the guy who got the short video thing. Then you see it. Then you print it. Snapchat.
Okay.
Got acquired by Facebook.
Facebook, okay.
Yeah, something like that. Facebook, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It's because Snapchat was new to the market. It's new, such a new thing.
Yeah.
Not the Google, not Facebook, not YouTube, will ever think about this. But if they think about this first, before you do, you don't stand a chance to complete. Yeah. And obviously, they have come with some idea that none of this has ever thought about. So they got acquired. For like a 10 billion, something like that.
10 billion, yeah.
That's a lot.
So in the long run, in these days, what kind of career is riskier to take in the long run?
What kind of career?
Yeah, is riskier, more riskier to take. Do you think as a career as an entrepreneur is more riskier in the long run?
I don't think so.
You know, with the changing landscape, with the technological changing landscape these days, things are like, you know, changing the next moment to one thing to another. In a global perspective, from your experience being in the United States and working, you know, starting a company in China.
I don't see any like career path that's risk.
Yeah.
But I do see career path that's promising.
Promising. Like a growth path. The
first thing, obviously, the 100% is about data science.
Data science
definitely worth the time you invest for learning them.
Okay, big data,
data science, because you know, right now, all the company, all the internet company, like, not just internet, everything, they make the decision based on data. 100%. If it's good company, they do it. Otherwise, they would base it on like people experience. No, it's not a good thing. So you need to start learning the new technology. Data science, how can I make decision out of it, you know, learn the language of computer science, like R science, R language is really important. The business analysis is also a big, big major.
Okay.
Definitely worth the time to learn, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's booming.
Yeah, so you are such a high functioning person. I've known you like for a few months. Met you in person here in Ethiopia.
Yes.
You're such a very high functioning individual.
Thank you.
It was such a pleasure seeing you.
Thank you.
Meeting you in person. So what advice would you give, or what advice have you received, or what advice have you given, especially in terms of career?
Yeah.
What career advice have you given or received?
I remember.
Yeah.
The first time I went to career fair.
Yeah.
When I was a sophomore.
Yeah.
In college. I was terrified. The first time I put on a suit, go to a career fair with a bunch of people who look really, really professional. I was terrified. I don't know what to say. So I actually come up with an idea. I saw a guy over there. He looks really, really professional, got everything ready. I just come up to him. I asked him a question. How can I be successful, get an internship out of this? He looked surprised. I don't think he ever got questioned like this, especially in the career fair. And he actually delivered such useful information. Then I still remember for today. Even though, you know, I was onto a hospitality major at that time. I was going to hospitality. Career fair at the time, it's not relevant the subject. But the thing is, I'm telling you the story because you need to learn, you need to ask, you need to participate. So it's same thing for career advice. I won't tell you like, okay, you need to do, get your suit ready, get your resume, look good, you know, go into there on time, talk to people, but like, no. I'm saying those are just like the second step you need to
you need to
do. But first step, you need to prepare the mindset.
Attitude.
The mentality,
mentality
of what you want. You need to have those kind of things that I want something so bad, I will do anything for it. As long as, because I was in the position of hiring people as well, as long as you delivered such attitude to a potential employee or potential like a job, they will hire you. Not because, you know, you done great on your school, you done great of your exam. It's because, you know, you show the hunger, you show the passion that you have for this industry, for this job, for this company, especially, then you will succeed.
I remember my first job, fresh out of college. It was a job that I haven't imagined myself working. So when I was interviewed, this is why what I asked them. I asked them, "Do you guys have a mentor? Do you guys have someone who can teach me?" This was my first question. And they were really surprised, and I end up, you know, pairing up with this amazing guy who was able to show me some stuffs. So I think it's absolutely correct when you say you need to show that attitude of like you're willing to learn. You're willing to learn, and you're willing to like get yourself, you know, get your hand dirty, and you know,
absolutely.
All right, so majority of my audiences are like, you know, people in college.
Okay, good.
So I mainly target on all my job those, you know, young people. You're in college. So what advice would you give to a very smart
Yes.
And driven.
Yes.
College students.
Yes.
Who are about to join or enter the real world.
Yes, yes. I have a lot to say about this, you know. You know, I always want to inspire like a younger generation better future,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, from my own humble experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think first thing first, to prepare the new world,
mm-hmm.
the whole new world,
mm-hmm.
other than, you know, in college, doing what you want to do, you know. The first thing you face in the new world is to engage a such loneliness status of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Not busy working, not those fancy words, is to choose yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Those loneliness line, you work yourself, you prepare yourself, you improve yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an easy way.
Yeah, it's not that easy.
It's not easy way.
It takes a lot of courage.
And there's nobody who understands this.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nobody who willing to do it with you.
Mm-hmm.
You just do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the price.
Mm-hmm.
That's the cost
mm-hmm.
for you
mm-hmm.
to be successful.
Yeah,
it's always number one. Always number one. And the second rules, don't go for the job.
Mm-hmm.
That is easy.
That is easy, okay.
That is like, okay, I got a job mm-hmm. on the desk, you know. I go to like a fancy building,
mm-hmm.
the tallest building, CBD place in the city, you know, mm-hmm. have a suit that everybody thinks.
You've seen the corporate wallet in San Jose, Silicon Valley, Facebook, Google, all these giant tech companies.
Yes.
You've seen them all.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go for the job then.
Yeah.
Challenging.
That is true. Okay.
Go for the job. It's challenging. You know, you have to push yourself
mm-hmm.
every single day
mm-hmm.
to meet the goal. You know, mm-hmm. don't settle before 30s.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point. Once you got settled, you will lose the momentum
mm-hmm.
to be improved.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not very good because we are able to, we are down for any challenging, any failure, any setback before 30s.
Mm-hmm.
But after 30s, we cannot take this no more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so give a range of your time, your 20s
mm-hmm.
to try more things, to don't scare to fail
mm-hmm.
on the first 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And the third advice I think is follow people, don't follow jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Follow people.
That's a juicy one.
Yeah.
Very good.
And
so good.
So good, man.
Yeah.
So good. Terrible. You're a terrible person.
No,
that,
no, no. I just love the idea of following person
yeah,
at a job.
Following people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's all because, you know, you learn so much not from a mm-hmm. job, you learn so much mm-hmm. from a supervisor, from your boss.
Yeah.
Who leads you.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Then you understand so much. You will know a bunch of it
mm-hmm.
if your supervisor is willing to guard you,
mm-hmm.
like showing you what's going on here. You know, that's the best thing you ever can imagine on your early career.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's
so what advice should they ignore?
Like what advice? Yeah, ignore. Yeah.
I won't say advice you should ignore.
Yeah.
I just say, you know, you guys are, if your audience is college kid,
mm-hmm.
then they should probably hear a lot of like a
mm-hmm.
lifetime lectures from mm-hmm. parents or from the uncles, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically the same thing, you know, but I would say after college, it's just you. You are older right now,
mm-hmm.
all of them, all of
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know thing, what you should do, what you shouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I basically cannot give any advice, you know,
mm-hmm.
because it's just your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's just your life, yeah.
Okay. All right. So how can anyone who wants to start their own company,
yes,
like jump from theory to revenue, like in real time?
Theory?
Yeah, from theory, like maybe they have the business plan or the idea of the business or how they want it to go.
Practically.
Yeah, yeah. So how do they go about doing it practically?
Yeah. That's a tricky one.
Yeah, it is. It is for most. Yeah.
Because, you know, you have a business plan. Mm-hmm. As I said earlier, do the little thing first. Do a little thing first.
Small, bit by bit.
Bit by bit, you know. Last time, you know, remember I was telling you the taxi driver thing? You know, just the process, like, okay, in your brain, you have the idea. You have the idea. And then you write it down. That's called business plan. But this is not the final version of it. This is like a draft one, the very, very early stage. And the draft two, you should examine your plan, your idea. By what? By talking to people. By talking to people who involve this business to evaluate, to examine whether your thought is good or bad, and if there's differences, what's the differences between reality or your plan? You know, you need to do adjust.
Yeah.
And once you talk to enough people in this industry, I'm talking about enough people, not just one or two. You know, you need to make a sample. You should talk to like probably like 100 people or 50 people to evaluate, to have this, to generate like ideas. Okay, then you can move on. Plan a draft three. If the first two steps are successful, as what you is still as what you think is, the job three is try to find a niche. What I can do least, or other than what I can do most of it, what you can do least, and there's always a way you can cut into. And at the same time, you should find people to work with you.
Yeah.
I never believe an entrepreneur can do everything they own. So if you need to sell your dream, you need to sell idea to people. First, you need to sell idea to people who are willing to work with you.
Thank you guys for tuning in. This is Dagi and Jeffrey here with me. Key takeaways. Say yes more. Yes for more career capital. What would happen if you say yes for a full day, a full week, a full month? If you say yes to that conference you have been wanting to go but you're tempted to skip, might you overhear a comment that might ignite your imagination for a new business or a new research or a new relationship? Perhaps might it also lead to some dead ends or bad luck or wasted time? Sure. But trying new, small things every day can introduce regular risks that over time can build up your resilience to a bigger and greater career. Now it's your turn. I want to hear your comment. Please leave a comment about this podcast. If you wish to hear more goodies, you can reach me on about.me/Dagi_Dawit. I'll be back with another episode. I hope you will join me.